Near-Death Experience Podcast, an ongoing exploration of spiritually transformative experiences, including NDEs and other phenomena, in order to elucidate the ineffable and better understand our spirituality. All episodes are available at ndepodcast.org. The views expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and guests are not necessarily those of NDE Podcast, the NDERF, any sponsors, or for that matter, anyone else. In the end, the only opinion that really matters is yours. Near Death Experience Podcast, item number 379, February 15th, 2022. The OBE of Kim S.
Welcome to Near Death Experience Podcast, the official source of audio accounts for the Near Death Experience Research Foundation, NDERF.org. I'm Chaz Hathaway, author of Life in the Spirit World, What Near-Death Experiences May Teach About Life on the Other Side. Today I'd like to share the experience of a listener who had submitted their experience to NDERF.org, and NDERF placed it on their website, OBERF.org. Now that sounds even funnier than NDERF, I guess, but OBERF.org, which is the Out-of-Body Experience Research Foundation, of which I was not previously aware. And I looked into it, and sure enough, Jeffrey and Jody Long were the creators of the website, who are also the creators of the NDERF.org website. So this is really cool. If you've got an interest in out-of-body experiences, this is where they list those experiences, and there are a lot, let's just say. I have a suspicion that they are probably transitioning many of their the accounts from NDERF.org over to OBERF.org, since some of these experiences are not surrounding death or a nearly dying experience. Now, if you know me personally, I consider these all to be on the same level of spiritual education and so forth. So, you know, I don't really separate them in terms of what we have to learn from them, but I can see why they would be separate in terms of how we study them, simply because of, you know, trying to come to a deeper, fuller knowledge of what's happening and so forth. So I will say, you know, in terms of sharing this is not a near-death experience that we are sharing, but it has the same quality and the same value, same spiritual lessons, because it does seem to be an absolutely legitimate out-of-body experience. This is Kim. Kim actually sent a beautiful, kind email to me, which I just want to tell her thank you for reaching out to me. The kind of message that she had was so validating of this work that we're doing with the Near Death Experience podcast. And so, you know, thank you so much for sharing that. And, you know, as I read her experience, I thought, you know, this is absolutely in line with the kinds of things we want to share on this podcast. So I want to share her experience. I'm not going to read her full email to me, but I do want to share her experience that she submitted. So this is Kim, again, from OBERF.org. Kim says, "As a young woman in my 20s, I was struggling to find my purpose and my identity. I was living with a friend in an apartment and working overnight shifts at a local pharmacy. I had recently come out of a deep depression from a relationship that ended and broke my heart, but was working to get back on course with my life. It was a difficult time for me, but my job kept me focused and moving forward. On the day of the incident, I came home as usual and went to bed to sleep and set my alarm to get up again for work later that night. I typically went to work 10 p.m. to 7 a.m., so I would sleep from around 9 or 10 a.m. to 6 or 7 p.m. I slept soundly that day, until I suddenly awoke to the sensation that I was moving. I suddenly found myself, or spirit, being pulled backward into my mattress, like I was falling backward, but in a controlled way. I did not open my eyes. I could feel the inside of the mattress, but was not with my physical self. I could feel the foam and the springs. I didn't know what was happening and was freaked out. Suddenly I felt like I was on a rubber band and gently stretched back, then flung out of my body. I still did not open my eyes. I could then feel myself floating above my body facing the ceiling. Still, I did not open my eyes. I could sense the space between my body and my floating self. I had the sensation that my hair was hanging back from my head as I floated there, in my bedroom above my body and the bed. I was both scared and intrigued. This all happened in a matter of minutes. I think I didn't want to see. I was afraid. Suddenly, I found myself no longer in my bedroom, but roughly 10 miles away in my parents' bedroom in the house I grew up in. I was fully conscious, and now my eyes were open, except I had no body. I was just a single tiny pinpoint of perspective floating there. I could see 360 degrees around myself all at once. I was still frightened, but also intrigued. Their bedroom was dark, and my parents were not present. However, this would have been during their usual dinner time if this event occurred in real Earth time. I was facing their bed. To my left, I saw three, maybe four people, shadowy figures, just observing me. I could not make out their faces, but could sense bright eyes watching me silently. I got the feeling that they were very somber people and weren't permitted to speak to me, but only watch. My attention was suddenly to my right, however, as a large, bright, white figure of light stood before me. It was made up of all light, also had no face that I could make out. It stretched from the ceiling to the floor and appeared to somehow be bigger than the room, yet still contained within it. It was shaped like a man wearing long, draping clothes, but really it was all made of light. At the top of its light head was something shaped like a man's top hat. I was again very scared, but also intrigued. I felt so small. I then found my voice and spoke and said, "Who are you?" And I was surprised at the sound of my voice. I was much more assertive and demanding than I normally was at that time of my life. The being of light replied to me in a loud, stern, clear voice, "You know who I am." I most certainly did not. That was why I was asking. I was frustrated because he would not identify himself. Overall, the room felt sad. The people to my left just hovered there, not speaking. I noticed that the window above my parents' bed showed there was some grayish light outside, which didn't make sense since it would have been nighttime and dark that time of year. I was not satisfied with his first answer, so I demanded again, "Who are you?" I was scared and therefore defensive. I felt like I had to stand my ground, although I had no feet. Again, the being of light said sternly, and maybe with a little annoyance, "You know who I am." At this point, I had some ideas, some speculations, some guesses, but I did not believe myself. I couldn't wrap my mind around what was happening. All of a sudden, I was flying, rushing very fast through a tunnel of light, and I was screaming, "No!" because I was terrified, and I had no control over any of this. Seconds later, I was slammed back into my body. I did not view my body. I just felt myself slammed very hard, backside first, into it. So hard that once back, I sat straight up in my bed with my physical body and was still screaming, "No!" After a few moments, I calmed myself down and reviewed what just occurred. It shook me up. I told some family and friends. Most people I've told this to over the years have been respectful of my opinions, but they usually think it's just a dream. It was not a dream. I don't know if I died, but was in poor physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. I separated from my body. This incident is something that I've thought about many, many times. I've analyzed it time and again. It sent me on a spiritual quest that I'm still on. Initially, I thought the being of light might be my deceased maternal grandfather, only because the being was on the side of the bed that my mother sleeps on. The other shadowy beings were on the side of the bed my father sleeps on, so I speculated that they were deceased relatives of his. After this occurred, I looked into my family history, read books on out-of-body experiences. I got really into ghost hunting stories. I went to a healing arts school in Arizona, and overall, I learned a lot from all of this. But it wasn't until I picked up my old Bible that I received as a child and started to read it again that my eyes were opened to the possibility that I had stood in the presence of God. Or maybe an angel of God, voice of God, Jesus perhaps. When this first occurred to me, I thought to myself, it could not have been God. I am not worthy. Why would he come to me? The more I think about it, the more I think he was trying to save me from myself. I have many reasons that I think this and am happy to discuss any time. I continue to travel on this spiritual journey and I'm still learning, still seeking answers. I do want to mention that I did attempt to induce spontaneous out-of-body experiences after this experience and was almost successful, but I once again let fear stop me. I have not tried again in quite some time. I worry that God is frustrated with me, that I did not know him. I believe I know him now and hope he forgives me. I've had very spiritual, beautiful dreams over the years. I've even shared a dream experience with my sister. I've encountered deceased friends and family in my dreams, had astral projection-like dream events, all of which could be the result of this near-death experience or out-of-body experience many years ago. Thank you for allowing me to share my experience. That is the end of Kim's account on OBERF.org. And though I'm not going to read the full email, I do want to read the last portion of the email that Kim sent me. She says, "In the years after my experience, I've had numerous visions, vivid dreams, shared dreams with a sister, prophetic dreams, and increased spiritual awareness. I continue to seek God, my path, and positive connection to the universe. I want to be and make good ripples. I'm trying to, anyway." She also mentions earlier, "My STE is not as exciting, positive, or dramatic as some others, but it happened to me and it was real. I've been processing it for a long time and was eventually able to draw some conclusions about my personal soul growth from it. It was not a very positive experience, which has been difficult for me to accept. But I continue to work through it and strengthen my relationship with God." And that's the end of the portion I'm reading of her email. Thank you, Kim, for sharing this. What a remarkable experience. And what you mentioned about it being something that you've pondered over the years that has continued to lead to your spiritual journey, or at least guide your spiritual journey in some way, maybe egg it on, you might say, this spiritual journey that you're on. It's very well possible that that was the major point of the experience, And whether or not it was, you know, there are a lot of us that would love to have these kinds of experiences. And there are those out there among many of our listeners who have tried to have experiences like this, not near-death related, but still out-of-body or spiritually transformative experiences. And many have not had these kind of experiences. And what I'm coming to realize, just from the various data points that I'm getting from all these different experiences, is that we don't have to be concerned that our lack of experiences of this sort, or lack of being able to have more such experiences, or let me say it this way, just because we don't have these kind of experiences, especially when we want to, actually doesn't necessarily have any bearing on how good we're being in life. That seems to be consistent throughout. There are many people who live remarkably spiritual, deep, amazing lives who never have these kind of experiences. And then there are others who have deep spiritual experiences who never really develop that spiritual sense any further. And it's not that I fault them for that. It's not that they're doing anything wrong. I'm not sure that that level of spiritual experience is a fair indicator. I wouldn't say it's not an indicator, but I would say it's not a fair indicator of our spiritual standing before God. I only bring that up because of emails I've received from other people who have had experiences and find themselves frustrated. I sense just a touch of this with Kim, not so much that she feels necessarily afraid for her, you know, her spiritual existence necessarily, but she does concern herself over her relationship with God, which is absolutely, you know, right and understandable. But trying to use these kind of experiences as a gauge or a way of saying, okay, I had, you know, kind of, if I had another experience like this, or if I had an experience like this, it must mean that I'm on the right track and I'm doing the right thing. And if I don't have it, it means I'm not doing something in my life that I should be doing, or that maybe I'm not measuring up to what I'm supposed to be doing. I see no evidence of that being the case. There doesn't seem to be any indication that those who are better on the path that they should be on have more experiences than those who don't. And also that those who don't have these experiences are not necessarily on the path they should be on. That does not seem to be even a correlation. And what I'm suggesting from that is that just because you either haven't had this kind of experience, or because you can't repeat this kind of experience, doesn't mean anything to how good you're doing on the path that you should be on. It doesn't necessarily have anything to do with that. And also, if you're, you know, having these kind of experiences, I mean, you may find out from your experiences, based on what is communicated to you during the experiences, it may not indicate that you are on the right path. There's many people who have near-death experiences who are basically told, you got to get back on track. And then they're sent back to work on getting back on track. And so it's basically what I'm trying to say is that these kind of experiences are not necessarily indicators of how well you're on the path. However, the things that are indicators of whether you're on the right track or not are the things that seem, from what I can tell, to be available to all of us. For example, Kim talks about prayer and talking about seeking out God, seeking to, you know, a better oneness with others and so forth. And I would add things like serving other people, striving to show love, striving to seek spiritual lessons and blessings through whatever your faith is, whatever your sacred books are, following the course laid out to come closer to God, to come closer to who you are spiritually, is very, very helpful to helping you find and discover where you should be in your life, what you're doing in your life. And do not expect, please, do not expect to get to a point where you feel like, okay, I am on the path, I am doing it, and then have that feeling extend over years, continually. It won't. Not for pretty much any of us. If some of you have experienced that, you are so lucky, because most of us, it's not like that. You'll have a day where you have maybe you're meditating or you're praying, you're reading something that's deeply spiritual to you, and you get this sense you're on the right track, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, or you're, you know, headed in the right direction, something like that. You'll get those little insights, and then it will drift off. That feeling will drift away, and you will go about your life and find yourself within a day or two completely frustrated again, feeling like, but I feel like I'm off track. I feel like I'm, you know, messing up, not doing it right. That is the mortal experience. You've got to trust those little moments where you feel it. Because when you're feeling those spiritual feelings, that is when spirit, be it God, be it the Holy Spirit, be it loved ones who have passed, spirit guides, whatever, that is when they're able to reach you. And that is why often you are experiencing that, because it's because you're being given either that sense of you're on the right track, or do this to get on the right track, something to that effect. In those moments of deep spiritual sense, trust the things that you learn. And that will not always be easy, but it will happen. And as Kim said, even though she's tried to have this experience again, tried to bring it on again, she's not been able to. The one time she says she got close, but kind of freaked out and backed out, which totally understandable. Don't fault yourself for that. It's not like you did anything wrong. I'm not even sure it's intended that most of us have these kinds of experiences in this life. If they can serve to help us, then that's great. But seeking them ourselves is not necessarily exactly the point, I guess is what I'm saying. Because if you're striving to have that positive connection in the universe, to seek your path, to seek God and so forth, then those moments of clarity will come. And then the rest of your life, you've got to trust in your moments of clarity that you've had. Seek them as much as you can, those moments of clarity. But it's don't expect them necessarily to lead to some big out-of-body experience, because for most of us, they never will. And that's okay. We're not in this life to leave this life. We're in this life to accomplish the things that we're here to do, to fulfill the purposes that we came here to fulfill, and to have a relationship with God, with the universe, with others, with the world around us that can, as Kim said, ripple out into the world and have a positive effect on those around us. And as we strive for it, it happens. Now, I was debating about whether to go on to share something further or not. I'm going to do it because I feel like it very much applies. I had another email from another listener, which was so cool. I mean, so deep. And so this is a big question, and I answered it. And we may go a little over time just because I'm carrying on with this, but I'd like to read much of his email and then my response, simply because it touches on these same points, okay? And because I have not replied to find out if it would be okay with this listener if I share their name and so forth, I'm not going to share the name, but I do want to thank this individual so much for sharing this, okay? So this listener writes, "Dear Chas, thank you very much for the time and energy and love you put into your podcast, especially with your very busy family life. I thought I'd share with you my thoughts of Peter Kay's near-death experience. You featured this NDE in episode 309, the NDEs of Peter Kay and Jim L. As you know, quite a few NDEs say that before we were born, we actually request to come to Earth. I'm just asking whether you think we really know what we're in for when we ask or agree to come to Earth. For example, at the end of Peter Kay's NDE, he writes that after he asked to go back to this earthly life, that I have regretted making that decision many times over the years when life became unbearably painful, unquote. I find it interesting, this listener continues, I find it interesting as Peter Kay seems to say that when he was in heaven, he knew everything. He had complete knowledge. Quote, at the time, I knew everything that had ever happened in the world, everything that would happen in the future, and everything that was happening at the moment. I was one with God or the collective soul, Father, sky, or a higher power. Unquote. And he continues, so this makes me ask, if Peter had complete knowledge, then why didn't he also know how hard his life would be if he chose to come back? Why didn't he know that he would regret his decision to come back? You've spoken that you've also had very difficult times in your life, and I've also had many difficult times, and I would like to discuss whether beings really know what they're in for when they request or consent to come to Earth. I think the idea that there are so many suicides is one indication that people don't realize how hard it will get. People think that beforehand that they will be able to handle it, but when they actually experience life on Earth, then perhaps it's a lot harder than they envisioned before they were born. Because of the difficulties I've experienced in my life, I've even told people that when I go to heaven, I'm going to wear a sandwich board with "Don't go to Earth" painted on it when I walk around heaven. However, on the other hand, there are some people who experience an NDE that do seem to know beforehand that their life is going to contain pain if they choose to come back. For example, Michael Joseph writes that he was shown that what would happen if he went back. Quote, in my latter life, perhaps 10 to 15 years after the accident, I would suffer pain, extreme pain, and it would affect me the rest of my life. Unquote. And another example is Amy Purdy says that she knew her life would be challenging if she came back. Quote, I remember knowing that my life would be different from that point on, and knowing that physically, my life would be challenged, but that I made the decision to live, unquote. The listener continues. In fact, she describes having both legs amputated in a year and a kidney transplant. Because of the decades of difficulties I've experienced in my life, I'm thinking that maybe I didn't really fully know what I was in for beforehand when I chose to come to Earth. I'm thinking that maybe next time I would ask God to just give me a taster so I can make a fully informed decision about whether to come to Earth. For example, to just put me on Earth for 1 year at age 25, for example. I feel that this should be possible, as anything is possible with God. Or maybe just to put me on Earth for a short time, for example, up until the age of 16. And when I'm in heaven, to make a fully informed decision about whether or not to go to Earth. I can maybe also ask to speak with spirits that have committed suicide, to ask them what it was like to live on Earth, and why they wanted to leave Earth so desperately. Why was it so painful? I could write more on this, however, I think that this is enough for now. Let me know if you'd like my further thoughts on this. Wishing you, John, and your loved ones the very best. Warm regards. Thank you again to this listener. What a fantastic question. And I had to kind of think about it a bit before responding because he's so right. Why would we come into this life if it is so hard and if we know so much about what we're in for? Why would we even come? Or is it possible that we just didn't know what we were in for? That we just, maybe we knew intellectually what would happen, but had no idea how hard it would actually be. So here's my response to the listener. Thanks for contacting me. What a great discussion you've brought up. First off, to the question of whether we know what we're getting into, I have a couple of thoughts or opinions. I have a suspicion that on the other side, we are far more intelligent than we are here. In coming here, our intellectual mental capacities are dumbed down to an almost ridiculous degree. The reason for this dumbing down is somewhat unclear to me, but I think it may be the case. I think that perhaps at least on an intellectual or emotional level, we do know what we're getting into when we're getting ready to leave for Earth. What we lack is the experiential level. We know it will be unbearably painful. We know it will be practically too much for us to take. So why do we willingly do it? Again, I'm speculating here, but this is my thought. We do it because in that eternal state, we know the deep, eternal spiritual growth that comes from suffering. We do it because the experience of struggle, pain, suffering, and hopelessness provides us with lessons that go way beyond what we can ever fully comprehend as mortals. If I'm right about this, much of the growth, learning, and attributes that come from actually experiential suffering may seem not to come in this life, but it will come in the hereafter. Now, I realize that that can be seen as a bit of a cop-out answer. It sounds like what we Christians are always saying, suffer now and be rewarded later. But I think it goes even deeper than that. I think there is a level of compassion and perfect love that can only come from the pain of living a mortal life. We don't need to seek out that pain. It will come to us just by existing here. We don't need to hurry it along because the precise lessons we need will come to us. In fact, I would suggest that they will come more smoothly and effortlessly if we submit to God and let Him guide our lives. If we chose these lessons, as I suspect we did, and we were ambitious for the deepest spiritual lessons, as we appear to be, we were probably spiritual overachievers, taking on more than even many of our guides thought wise. It would be so consistent of us to bite off more than we can chew, wouldn't it? We feel a connection to the spiritual because deep down we know that we are eternal beings, and as spiritual beings, we were over-ambitious to take on way more than we can handle. So I guess in that sense, yes, maybe we didn't know quite what we were getting into. We probably knew intellectually, but had no idea experientially. It's like if you were given the chance to go back to kindergarten and do it again. It's so easy to see now what we should have done differently. But in going back, our level of brain development would also drop to that of a 5 to 6 year old. Chances are, we'd repeat kindergarten much as the same way as we did originally. But I'm not sure repeating of the experience is quite the point. Rather, it's the lessons we were intended to get out of it. If we could find a way to truly learn from our kindergarten experience, there'd be no point in repeating it. I know there's much talk of reincarnation as a means to learn what we need to learn, but I think that idea might be like the idea of repeating kindergarten. The better approach would be to learn from the mistakes we made, learn from the people we met, learn from the feelings we felt, and move on. I guess what I'm suggesting is that our best approach is probably to spend this life really striving to be what we're capable of being, striving to know God here, even with our kindergarten brains, doing what we can to share, spread, teach, and live by love, so that we can spend eternity learning from what we experienced, rather than repeating the same classes over and over again. I'm not suggesting that's easy. It's not. It's not even meant to be easy. But the point isn't to get it right, but rather to willingly, lovingly, submissively, knowingly, and sincerely try. It's not the succeeding that provides the lessons, but the striving. If it were to all come easy, it would simply be an indication that we've already succeeded at everything and have nothing else to learn, which again, I emphasize, doesn't appear to be the point. It's all about the growing. It's about the experiential learning and the progress. Life is brutal. There's no question about that. And maybe we knew that before we came, but it still hurts. It hurts bad. But we're here now. We're striving to be some kind of vessel of love, and albeit flawed and broken, we're working at it. We're really working at it. And that's what's going to lead to the lessons, some of which we'll understand here, and most of which we'll understand in the eternities. Regardless, this is our opportunity. Anyway, that's a few of my thoughts on the subject. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. And then I ended the email. And I especially want to thank both of these listeners who've contacted me, because just on a personal note, I've had a difficult weekend, and you know, for stupid little things, but it's the stupid little things adding up that just make life sometimes seemingly unbearable, you know, and things are tough. And in reviewing this stuff and in seeking out the answers, seeking out, you know, my own thoughts on it, I was kind of reminded that this life is intended to be hard. Not the way, again, like I said, we don't have to seek it out. It's going to come. The lessons that we sought as spirits will come to us. And to some extent, I'm a little bit scared of what I might have gotten myself into. In this life, I tend to bite off more than I can chew. I can't imagine what I must have gotten myself into previously and getting ready to come to this life. But that's not the point. The point isn't to get it perfectly right, to be able to nail it, or, you know, I'm not trying to graduate and you know, get the perfect grade on this particular test or whatever. What I'm trying to do is experience what I came here to experience so that I can learn what I came here to learn, as well as serve those who I came here to serve. And honestly, as weird as this may sound, but who is touched by my life or what I experience is honestly none of my business. That's between them and God. If God can use me as a vessel for his work, that's fantastic, and I'm grateful for that. And honestly, when I hear from people that say that they've been touched by something that I've done, it is deeply touching to me and just makes me feel that sense of, okay, I'm on the right track, I'm doing okay. So that is an incredible blessing. But most of the people that we touch in this life, we're not going to hear from. We're not going to get that validation. And that's totally okay. Honestly, I think the only reason I hear from as many people as I do is because I'm operating on a public forum like this, a public setting where I am exposing my voice to the world and inviting you to respond. Most people will not have that kind of opportunity, and that's fine. That's not the point. The point is that we strive. And we try, and we work at it, because in that working at it, we grow. As spirits, honestly, I get the impression, the fact that, you know, as the listener mentioned, they get these moments of knowing everything, which means they probably have just about every skill imaginable. So it's like they've got everything that one could want, except the experience, and therefore the deeper, more meaningful lessons. And if we are here not to learn specific skills per se, but rather to learn certain lessons and have certain experiences, then it will be in the struggle that we really accomplish what we came here to do. If we had lives without struggle, it would be an indication that we didn't come here to learn. We didn't come here to grow. If school, for example, was super easy, and just going and you're filling out paperwork of stuff you already know the answers to, there is no learning involved. There's honestly no point in going to school. And maybe there are people who come to this life who've already got it. They've got everything they need, and they arrive for some special purpose, and maybe they even act as mortal angels to a lot of other people or something. But for the rest of us, we are here to learn, and that is what our spirits, it appears, really craved. And so here we are experiencing it, and yeah, it's stinking tough. Sometimes unbearably tough. We read so many experiences about people who attempt suicide because they are giving up. It's too much for them. And we don't fault them for that, but we also recognize that it's not the way out. That's not the way to learn the lesson. It's almost like part of learning lessons is simply survive long enough to be able to hold out so that when you've gotten to the other side of that ravine, the lessons are there for the taking for the rest of our eternity. Is that a weird way of looking at it? Maybe. Maybe. But I think there may be something to that. Get through it. I don't mean that to say get over it, like move on or whatever. Hold on is what I'm trying to say. Endure. It's going to get tough. It may get much tougher than even now we imagine it will. And that's okay. I kind of grit my teeth while saying it. It's okay. It's okay that it's so tough. Our point is to try and to be striving and growing and serving. Because as we act as those vessels of love to those around us, we become part of that eternal work of spreading love in the universe. Why did we come here? Love. Why would God put us through such pain? Love. I can't claim to understand that fully. I simply can't pretend to. But everything I read points to that. It's out of love. And you can bet when I get to the other side, I'm going to have some questions. I'm going to have some pretty serious questions. And I already know for myself. Because what God has given me to experience, that I'm going to accept the answers. And I'm going to be okay with them. Because in every ounce of suffering that I've experienced in this life so far, He's always made it clear to me that there is good reason for it. I don't always find out that reason, but I always come at some point later, much later often, to find out it was for my own good and for the good of my loved ones. And I can only trust that the things that I'm experiencing now and struggling with now will also be for my own good, for my lessons, for my love, for the many reasons that I came here. And I believe it's that way for all of us. So hang on. Don't give up. Hold out. Whatever that means for you in your situation, hold out. Because the lessons will be worth it. And with that, thank you again, all of you, for listening.
Chaz and I thank you for listening to Near Death Experience Podcast. You can reach out to your hosts by using Chaz, C-H-A-S, at ndepodcast.org and John, J-O-H-N, at ndepodcast.org. You can text or call the show at 970-633-2278. That's 970-NDE-CAST. Calling allows you to record your message in 3-minute increments. If your message runs longer than 3 minutes, just call back and we can splice the segments together. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook by searching NDE Podcast on those sites. And join our Facebook NDE Podcast community. Please leave feedback for the show on iTunes or via whatever application you use to listen to us. Doing so will allow our audience to grow and help spread the knowledge about spiritually transformative experiences to more listeners. You can help keep the show financially viable by purchasing Chaz's music or his book under the store link on the ndepodcast.org website, or by going to patreon.com/ndepodcast, where you can make a one-time-only donation or become an ongoing supporter. Whether you decide to write or call us, or you choose to support the show, either financially or by writing a review or by listening and sharing us with others, we are so humbly thankful for you. We can't begin to express how much touching you spiritually means to us. Chaz and I thank you for joining us. We hope you keep listening and applying the understanding you gain from the show about your existence after this earthly life, so you have a better life right now. and to love one another. This is your host, John Messer, reminding you that it's all about attitude and gratitude, and our attitude should always be love.